No, we're at the top of 22A.
Yes, same thing. Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, 22A. The Mishnah says...
He needs his coffee.
Sukkah
Hamadulelis.
Sukkah Hamadulelis. Medulelis. Do they even try to translate that yet?
You're going to love this. It says the Gemara will define this word.
That's true. So it doesn't even try. I figured it wouldn't. V'shetzilasa meruba mechamasa k'shera. Any sukkah hamaduvleles, whatever that means, we'll see soon. Or a sukkah.
Not or, and.
Yeah, okay. And a sukkah which is, whose shade is greater than the sunlight. So those are both kasher. So the Gemara says hamauba. Mauba means, a thick schach. Kamin bias, like a house, like it looks like a ceiling, a roof. Even though you can't see through to the stars, it's still kasher. Right? This is what people talk about when they say, like, you have to see the stars, whatever. It comes from this Mishnah that you don't need to see the stars. But we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about that. My meduv lelis. When the Gemara says, when the Mishnah says meduv lelis, what is it referring to? Amarav sukkah ania. It's referring to schach, which is very thin. And there are a lot of cracks in it. It still has to have the shade be greater than the sunlight, but it's few and far between in terms of the shade that it provides. Shmuel Amar, kana olev, kana yored. Shmuel says it's one reed which is up, one reed which is down. Unclear exactly how this is situated, but the point is, I think, that you have shade in the vertical plane, but not in the horizontal plane. Meaning that some like you have two layers of schach and they're separated from each other. We'll see in the Gemara in terms of how much they can be separated.
You don't mean like this.
No, I mean like this.
Okay, yeah.
Right, so like technically they're covering every spot. Maybe, or it has literally two levels to it. So we'll see in a second. Rav Tani Chadishmul Tani Tarti. Rav says that this Mishnah is talking about one and the same thing. Meduv Leles is itself a sukkah, which is Silasim Rub Mechamasa. And Shmuel says, no, it's referring to two things. So what does that mean? Rav Tani Chada Sukkah Meduv Leles. Umay Meduv Leles. Medul Deles. So what does that mean? That the sukkah is sort of Medul Dal, like... pouring down from. How do they translate that?
I mean, they say midul delas is meager.
Meager? Oh, yeah. Like dal. Okay. Okay. Dal could be like poor.
It says the root is dal.
Yeah. Meduvlelis, meduldelis. It's like a poor sukkah, but shetzilasim ruba chamasa kshera. As long as the shade is 51%, so then you're okay, even if it's a weak looking schach. Ushmul tani tarti. And Shmuel says, no, it's referring to two separate things. My meduvlelis, mevulbelis. That it's all mixed up.
Staggered,
okay.
Yeah, same thing.
Vitarti Kitani, and really the second one, it's a different type of sukkah. Sukkah Mevul Beles, Kshera. And Vitzilasim Rubim Mechamasa Kshera. Two separate types of sukkahs that we're saying are kasher. Okay, unclear what the havmina of the second one would be. We already know that, but not for now. Amar Abaye lo shanu alek shein bein zel zeh shlosh tefachim. When we say, according to Shmuel, that the schach is up and down, meaning it's got two levels to it. Hold on, let me just see a note here. Okay. Al shein bein zel zeh shlosh tefachim. The up and down level have to have only three tzvachim in between. This sounds like the conversation we had about sukkah agabi sukkah, if you remember. If you have one sukkah on top of another sukkah, but it's different. Because here, we're trying to create the same schach with these two levels, and they have to be closer enough to take it together. So, aval yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosh tzvachim psua. If there's three or more tefachim in between the two levels of schach, so then they do not connect. This is our good old friend, Lovet. That they're connected to each other if they're three within three tzvachim of each other. So Amar Rava, Afili Yesh Ben Zelazeh, Shlosh Tzvachim Nami Lo Amran, Ela She'ein Begago Tefach, Ava Yesh Begago Tefach Kishera. If the roof has itself, I think it's referring to the slats, the actual reeds or whatever you're using for the slach. I'm thinking of bamboo. So as long as they have a thickness of one tefach worth, so then it's kasher. De amrinan chavot rami. How do they translate chavot rami? Bundle.
Lower in cast.
What?
For we then say lower and cast the upper reed upon the space
below. Lower and cast. Chavot and Rami. Rami means to bring up. You're saying chavot means to put down? Chavot. Does it have a translation there, David?
Lower and cast down the upper level of the sukkah, roofing up down to the level of the lower sukkah.
Right. Look at this unity. Same exact translation.
Says this principle of chavot lower states that when a covering is situated directly right over a gap in a roof below, the covering, no matter how high up, is viewed as if it were lower right and resting on the
so
gap
below.
So
there's a picture of it here.
Yeah.
Here's two layers. Right. One where the slants are directly on top of each other.
And it just comes down like this.
And here's one where it's staggered.
Right, right.
Where it's staggered, so if the top one, where right the two layers are staggered,
it covers the other spot.
So if the top one went down,
yeah,
it shades in everything.
So this is the concept called Chavot Rami. And this is not a sukkah concept, which is why he's bringing in this criteria of having the slats be at least one tefach wide. So Amar Rava, Mina Aminala, Dechi Isbe Tefach Amrin Chavot Rami, Vichile Isbe Lo Amrin Chavot Rami. Where did you get this from, that it needs to be a tefach in order for us to employ this principle? So Ditzna, and the Mishnah in Oalo says, Koros Habayas Ve'alia. Koros, I think this is referring to the roof. Or the beams.
Yeah.
The beams of the house, of the lower floor of the house, right? They call it the Bayas and the Aliyah. Back then it wasn't common to have, well, I guess it was common, but it was like a, only two possible levels. They didn't have like skyscrapers. So the bias was the main floor, and then the aliyah was like the attic. Okay, so in this case, the bias, the main floor, the lower floor has a bunch of slats, and the top floor has a bunch of slats. So if the situation is like this, she'ein aleihem mazeva, it doesn't have, how do you translate, a surrounding?
Plaster.
It doesn't have plaster. Meaning it's not filled in, I guess. I think it means it's not full or whatever. V'hein mechuvanos, and the upper ones line up with the gaps of, and the upper ones line up in the same spot as the lower ones. I mean, mamish the same. They're in the same. Latitude.
The same vertical plane, I think.
They're in the same vertical. That's a vertical plane. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how to say it because the shadow is a horizontal thing, but they're lined up above each other. So I don't know which one wins. Okay. Behen mechvanos. So then, tuma tachas achas mehen. If there's some kind of impurity which is lying right underneath one of the boards, and therefore also the top board. So tachas achas men tachteha tame, anything underneath that board or those boards are completely tame. Bein hatachtona le'aliona, if the impurity is placed above the ceiling of the first one, of the lower level, meaning it's between the two slats, beinehen tame. So the in between is going to be tame, right? Because the top slat is right directly over the bottom slat. Okay. Hold on. Right, because the top one is creating an ohel over the bottom. However, al gabe ha'alyona, if the impurity is placed above the top floor, kinegda adlerakia tame. anything up and all the way to the sky, that's always going to be tameh. As we know, tumah goes all the way up. There's nothing separating this piece of tumah, so it goes all the way up. However, it doesn't go down. Excuse me, because there's an ohel there. And that ohel separates it from whatever is underneath it. Okay. They didn't have planes back then, but presumably they are, intuiting a possibility, theoretically, of something going above this building. Right? Kind of interesting why Gemara even talks about it. If, I guess maybe a bird. I don't know exactly why they're contemplating what's going to be above this building, but presumably that would be something. Okay. Hayu ha'alyonos kebein ha'tachtonos. If the upper ones are in between the lower ones, it's interesting, the letter chaf kibein tachtonos, what does that mean, kibein? But either way, tuma tachtehen. If the tuma is underneath it, tachas kulan tame. It's as if there's one large roof over the entire structure. So it doesn't matter where that impurity is, it's going to be considered as if it's in the whole house. Because again, the ohel is now, whole house meaning I think the lower floor. Well, I'm not sure about that. I think it maybe means either way. As long as it's underneath a slat, so then it's going to fill the entire house. I'm not sure about that. At least if it's on the bottom floor, even if it's in the gap, it would still create a tuma around the whole house. Al gabehen, if it's however on top of one of the slats, either the bottom floor ceiling slats or the actual top of the building slats. So then, keneged alurakia tame. Then it's considered to be on top of the building, right? Because there's nothing which is enveloping it. If it's in the middle, right? If it's above, you guys have a picture of this? Yeah. If it's in the middle, above the first floor ceiling, on one of those slats, so if you look straight up from that slat, there's nothing covering it above it, right? Because the other ones are complementing those spaces, right? There's nothing above it. They're filling the gaps. So then that tumah is not going to be considered to be inside the house. That tumah is going to be considered to be on the roof of the house, even though there's a second floor above it. The second floor has airspace above that spot. So it's going to be considered like it's on the top and not inside. V'tani Allah, b'amad v'amrimorim, when does this concept of chavot rami, that you can lower down the ceiling and consider it connected to the rest of the slats, b'zman, when is that applied? B'zman sheyesh behen tefach. As long as the slats on the bottom floor ceiling, are a tefach wide. U'b'nein poseach tefach. And in between, there's a tefach worth of space. Aval ein b'nein poseach tefach. If there's not a gap of a tefach in between, sum tuma tachas achas mihen tachteha tameh. So then if there's something of impurity underneath one of the slats, only that space under the slat is going to be tameh. It's not going to be considered like it's a bona fide ceiling to create a tuma in the entire house. Very interesting concept, but if you think about it, I think it makes sense that, we talked about a Gemara a couple of days ago, which I didn't do with you, but if there was like a skylight, and there was like a hole in the ceiling, and there was tumah right underneath that hole, remember that Gemara?
Yes.
So then it goes straight through the hole. It's not considered to be inside the house. Right? So to work that halacha with this halacha, it would have to be that there's a certain complementariness to each of the slats, and the gap has to be a certain amount to open up for that slat. Actually, I'm not sure. Either way, beinehem, if the piece of tuma, if the impurity is in between the lower level and the upper level,
so then
alga beinehem or alga behen tahor. Benam or Agaban Tahor. Benahem. I think what this means is if it's resting on one of the slats, or even if it's in between. What's the B course of Bicycle Salia? I mean, it's either, I think it's even in between, even if it's not sitting on a slat, or if it's on a slat itself. So it's going to be tahor in either situation, because it's not considered like, it's not considered like, hold on. The bottom one has a tefach and the top one doesn't. So it's as if the top one is not, doesn't have the proper force field to keep the tumah inside. But the bottom one, and the bottom one has a tefach, in which case it stops it from going down. Okay, interesting. I don't know if you got that, but we're still talking about the situation where the bottom one has a tefach worth of slats, but the top one doesn't. Okay, so Alma ki is be tefach amir chavurah mechiles be tefach lo amir chavurah mishmamina. The only time that this two-layered tzchach would work is when it actually has these this tefach wide gaps being filled by tefach wide slats on top. Yasi Rav Kahana Kamar la Shmaita. He once taught over this concept that it needs to be a width of a tefach worth. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana v'cholhecha deleis be tefach lo armina and chavur rami. Is it really true that we don't say chavur rami when it's not a tefach? Vatani, the Braisa tells us, Kora hayotz mikol talzeh ve'ena nogas mikol talzeh. If you have what we call in architecture terms a fancy word, a cantilevered post, right? I don't know if you have a picture of this, but it's basically it's coming from one side of the mavoi, the entranceway, it's going from one side, and it's getting almost to the other side, but it doesn't actually get there. So it's going from one side of the kotel, the alleyway, to the other side. V'einu negas kotel, but it doesn't touch the other one. V'chein shtei koros, achas yotzi mikotel zeh, v'achas yotzi mikotel zeh. And similarly, if you have two, which are coming from both sides, and they get right here, they're not touching. So then, as long as pachos mishlosha eino tzarech lahavi kor acharis, as long as that gap, either on one side or in the middle, is less than three tefachim, our good friend Lavud, so then it's fine. Shlosha, however, if it's three or more, tzarech lahavi kor acharis, you have to bring another one. That's not good enough. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, pachos mi'arba. This is our good friend, our old machlokas by Erevin, is Lavud three tefachim or four tefachim? So ein tzarech lahavi kor acharis, arba tzarech lahavi kor acharis. So he just thinks that the same thing applies, but with the measurement of four. So v'chein shtei karos hamat'imot. Mat'imot, I think, literally means twins.
Mm-hmm.
So then lo bezu kidei l'kaba ariach, lo bezu kidei l'kaba ariach. If you remember, a formidable korah has to have the width to hold a brick. So here we have these two beams. Together, they're thick enough to carry the brick, but individually, they wouldn't be. So the question is, does that work? Im mekablo sariach l'rach bo tefach, ein tzarech lahavi kor acharis. If the two of them together would carry the brick on its long side, it's hard to describe this.
Width-wise.
Right, but that could go either way. But width-wise, meaning the brick's shorter axis, right? So that's the one that you're laying down on top of these beams. So then it's okay. V'im lav, and if it can't, meaning that the beams are too separate from each other, that it won't carry the brick in that shorter axis, so then, tzarech lahavi kor acharis. I don't know if you can see this picture or not. It's a little small. You see, that's what we're talking about. Meaning that the length of the brick is in the same direction as the beams. Tzarech lahavi kor acharis. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, im mekablos ariach l'arko. No, if it's able to be separated even more than that and carry the brick, which is perpendicular, right? The length, the long side is perpendicular to the beams. So then, shlosh tefachim ein tzarech lahavi kor acharis. As long as inside, between the beams is less than three, then that's okay. Unclear why he says that. I guess because the beam itself is also included. I don't know. Vim lav, because he's the one that says four tefachim. So here he's saying that the space in between is three. Unclear why he says that. But hold on. Oh, it's not because of Lavud, according to the Ritva. But just because that's how long a brick should be. Okay. Vim lav tarach levikor acharis. Right, so he's a little more lenient. It has to be within those two. And then the Brisa continues. Those really weren't so relevant to what we're looking for. But hayu achas lamal of achas lamata, if one of the beams is above and one is below. So then, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rowan Ha'al Yona, Ki'ilu Hi Lamata. It's as if the top one is right next to the bottom one. Vestachtona, Ki'ilu Hi Lamala, Ubavash, let's say Al Yona, Malala Me'esrim Amba, Vestachtona Lamata Me'esar, as long as they're between 10 Tfachim and 20 Amos tall, so then they're going to be considered like they're together. So the Gemara says, by implication, Ha, Zev is Zev, Besoch Esrim, Amrin Chavad Rami, these two things are combining with each other, and it's in continuation of what we said before, which is that the two of them don't have a tefach independently. And nonetheless, we're saying chavod rami. We're saying like this one comes down to join this one, or this one goes up to join with that one, even if it doesn't have a tefach worth. So how could that be? You're telling me that in order to do chavod rami for a sukkah, you need to have a tefach of slats for both the bottom and the top levels. So amar lei, taritz ve'imahach, you say like this, Ubilvan Shalotehe El Yona Lamala Me Esrim Ela Betoch Esrim Hatachtona Smuchala Bepachos Mishlosha Vehatachtona Smuchala Pachos Mishlosha. It has to be less than 20 amos above the ground, and they have to be within 3 tefachim of each other. In which case, it's not a problem. It's not an issue. It's not a. It's not an application of chavod rami. It's an application of lavud, just regular good old lavud. Inami bavash lotzei tachton lamat me'asara, can't be less than 10 tefachim from the ground. El lamala me'asara el yonas mechul apachus mishlosha v'ashlosha. If it's 3 or more in between, the leis pe tefach lo armin chavod rami. Doesn't matter how you situate it. We're not going to say chavod rami. So that's how we. So basically, we just apply our machlokas. We plug in our preconceived notions into this braisa to say whether or not it's going to require a tefach to consider the concept of chavot rami. But it's not going to have an effect because you can interpret it either way.
I had to spend so much time on this because it's a lot of fuss to make a sukkah like this.
Yes. I don't know why you would do that.
Go out of your way to make it like
right,
this.
Right, it's not something that
happens. Or a double decker. There's a lot of... These are just factual scenarios offered to teach us.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how. I mean, I can't imagine a time where you're compelled to make something like that, because any time that you could put slats on an upper level and a lower level, you could have just put the slats on the lower level.
Right.
So why? You know, what's the situation where you have to put slats on an upper and the lower level? I'm not sure. So either way, so the Gemara says, continuing with the Mishnah, v'shetzilasim rubi mechamasa. And the shade has to be greater than the sun. Ha ki hadade psula. If it's 50-50, it's no good. Right? That's the implication. The implication is that the shade has to be greater. The only problem is we already learned.
How are you going to determine the distinct difference between 50% and 50.1?
Yeah, I don't exactly know who's making these measurements. But I guess the way that you could do it is if you know for sure that you have the exact
measurements.
You know that your sukkah is 6 feet long, and you know for sure because you put it down on the ground before you put it out that you only have 3 feet of schach. So then, even if you spread it out, you know you've got 50-50. But yeah, it's never going to be exact. So v'had hatanan b'idach birkin. But we also learn in the very first mission of the Homosechta v'shechamasim ruba mitzilas psula. It says it in the opposite direction. Now that seems to be just two things that are working, you know, two sides of the same coin. Nope. However, if you were to say that the sun is greater than the shade is puzzle, that implies that it's 50-50, it's good, right? Because it says there, the sun is greater, right? So one of them says the shade is greater, it's kosher, and the other one says the sun is greater than it's puzzle. Each of those imply that if it's 50-50, you have the opposite, right? You have the opposite implication. So ha kia darik shera. If you were to say that the only when the sun is greater, it's possible. So that implication is if it's not greater, but it's 50-50, so it's still kasher. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, kan milamala, kan milamata. It depends how you're going to measure the shade. When it says in our Mishnah that the shade is greater, So that is when you're measuring it from the top. And you measure how much is there space in between the slats. But Kan, in the first Mishnah, it's milamata, meaning you're looking at the ground and seeing how much is shaded on the ground. Amar of Papa Haina Dharmi Inchi, Kazuza Mila'el Ki'istra Milatachas. How do you translate that? The Zuz is like a coin. If it's above, it looks like it's bigger, like a sella. Right? The shadow is always going to be cast a little bigger than the actual item that's being shown upon. I don't know if that's always true, but definitely makes sense. And therefore, the first Mishnah, although the dimensions aren't exact either, because it depends where it is situated, right? If you lift something higher, so then your shadow gets smaller. If you get it lower, so it gets bigger, whatever. Or I don't know if I got that right, but either way. So the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, which said that if the sun is greater, is puzzle, that's because you are dealing with a larger shadow, in which case you have to be more exact. Sorry. Not 100% sure how this works. Right. The reason why we're willing to have the implication that if the sun is greater, it's possible, but if it's 50-50, it's fine, is because on the bottom, when you're looking at the shade, then if they're 50-50, odds are the schach is actually greater above. I don't know how that works. Oh, it said the opposite of what I'm saying. That if the sun, if the shadow is being cast on the floor, so the sun is always going to look greater than the actual thing that's above it. All right, so if you were, I don't know, when your hand is,
I think that this is going to depend on when the shift.
Yeah, right. That's true too. That's for sure true. There's an angle to it. I'm talking if it's right at the above, right above it. I don't know. If it's saying right now, if it's higher, then the shade is going to be smaller on the ground. And this concept of the zuz is talking about how big a hole in your roof is. If the hole in your roof is one size, it's going to look like a bigger size. It's going to be projected to look bigger. Indiana Jones, yeah. Independent of this. So either way, I don't know. I think the sun was bigger when it came through, right? It's sort of like it refracts, or I don't know. I don't know what the phrase is. But uba kamin bias, if it's thick like a roof, so then it's kasher, even though you can't see the stars. So tana rabbanan ha uba kamin bias af a pisha ein kochav nirim mitocha kshera ein kochav yachama niris mitocha. If you can't even see the sun though, beishan posu beshila machshirin. Is that what it's saying? That the rays of the sun have to come through a little bit.
The rays of the sun, however, if the skach is so thick that even the rays of the sun cannot be seen from inside the sukkah.
Yeah, so that's machlokas beishan beshila. It's interesting because we call it koch ve'achama. Koch ve literally means stars. That's the stars of the sun, presumably the rays of the sun.
Yeah, that's how it's translated here, the rays of the sun.
So the Mishnah says, New Mishnah, Ha'os, Rosh Agal, Rosh Asfina, Olam, that a sukkah which is created on top of a wagon or on top of a ship, so those are kasher, and you're allowed to go up to them on Yantif. There's no problem going onto a boat. We talked about this in Gemara's and Shabbos, I believe. Oh, and actually, the Gemara's in Erevin about whether you can go on a boat and what's Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. And a wagon is okay too. Barosh Ha'ilan, top of a tree, oh, al-gabe gamal, k'sher, the sukkah is good, but v'ein olam lo b'yomtiv, you just can't go up there on Yantiv itself, because you're not allowed, if you remember from Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos.
There's actually a picture here of the sukkah on top of the camel.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I have one also, but on tomorrow's daf, because we're going to talk about it a little more. Shtayim ba'ilan v'achas bide adam, if two of the walls are using are being supported by the branches of the tree, and one of them is being supported from the ground, meaning it's like a treehouse. But one of the walls is sort of like, it's on its own. It's not in the actual tree, but it's being supported from the ground. So then, chera v'ein olam b'yom tov, you can't go up still because you're using the tree. However, shalosh b'nei adam and achas b'ilan, if you have three walls which were created by a person, meaning from the ground, and only the fourth wall is being used, and is using the tree. So then, share, because you're not really using the tree, because you could get away with the non-tree parts. Therefore, you'll have to go in the on Yom Tov Zeklal. Kol Shinatol Ilam V'Yachol Amu B'fnei Atzma. Anything where if you take the tree away, it would still be a good sukkah. So then, share of Olna Biyom Tov, it's kasher, and you'll have to go into the Yom Tov. Okay, we'll try to analyze that Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Shkayach.